Welcome back to the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. I am CDJ, joined by Tommy and JB. Gentlemen, we survived the last week's episode with Mr. Predicto. Did you think we'd be here? I wasn't confident.
I was worried Mr. Predicto was going to show up for this one as well. I mean, he may be the star of the show now. So
that's the funny part. Fired. The video on YouTube didn't do great numbers like it normally does, but on the audio, like on all the podcast and just audio streaming, it was the most listened to episode by far that we've had the best reaction. So
you have a Mr. Predicto as a face for radio, then you're saying?
Yeah, he's something for audio. He's not to be seen, which really cracks me up that maybe people didn't give him a chance. I don't know. I feel bad for the guy. This week, though, first off, we're going to talk about the podcast. We are now available on virtually all podcast services. We put in the time last week. There are services I've never even heard of, which we are now on. I don't know if that's good or bad, but we are there. So if you don't want to watch on YouTube or the main services like Spotify or Apple Podcast, go to your other podcast services and we'll be there. One of the big stories this week, not a lot going on, obviously, here in the heat of the summer, but we do want to point out the news when it does emerge. Matt Brown from Extra Points with Matt Brown was on the Solid Verbal with Ty Hildenbrand. Talked about the lawsuits, a lot of stuff basically we knew before. There was one interesting segment, which we will show here in a second. Talked about EA and some things they might do with the game. Gameplay and Dynasty being the focus. They recognize Dynasty as the flagship mode, which is no surprise to either of us, and it's welcome news. But let's play a segment of that. This is courtesy the Solid Verbal.
One of the things that I've been told is they wanted to really revamp how recruiting worked. And part of that is because recruiting and player acquisition and roster management look very different now than they did in 2014. NIL, transfer portal, that's part of the game. But I was also told they want to change the loop. You know, like, you know, I actually have the most recent game set up in my office. I have my TV kind of off screen here. And I've played it a decent amount over the summer. I've lied to myself and said it was for work.
Sure. For work. Same. Yeah. Same.
But you know what people have been telling me is like, we want to make this so during the week to week gameplay of the season, and you're doing your game and you're doing recruiting, that you develop a sense of excitement to be playing with the players that you're recruiting right now to kind of continue the loop. And you have a sense of continued satisfaction and achievement in recruiting from week to week. You know, because beforehand, you may not get a commitment until week 7 or week 8. The first couple of weeks would be pretty fluid, but like if you have a guy that you're recruiting, it's going to be a speedster, and you know that he's going to start be your third wide receiver as a true freshman. He's going to change your playbook. EA wants you to the player to know that in week 3, and then like I want to keep playing because I can't wait to work this guy in here. I know him. I've played with him a little bit better, which I think is different.
All right, we saw the clip. He mentions continuing the loop. Talking about knowing the player, playing with the player. Tommy, what did you think when you heard that clip?
It'll be interesting kind of exactly what he's talking about. Because, I mean, what is the loop? You know, is it a matter of you getting to maybe do some on-campus drills with him before he's actually part of your team or something like that? Just kind of get a sense of how he plays. Mm-hmm. But, it's kind of vague in the sense of I'm not sure what he's talking about when he says the loop. Mm-hmm. But what kind of immediately comes to my mind is something that I always did in Online Dynasty, because Online Dynasty, you know, you're taking an entire season, takes weeks, months, however long it takes. And so by the time you recruit that player, you're itching to be able to play with him. I personally would always create my recruits into my next year's team. So like either a custom team or something like that, would create those players into that team and then take and play an offline dynasty with them just to kind of get a sense of how they play and how the team is going to mesh together before I actually get to start the next season. Cause I'm itching to go as soon as I sign the guy. So I want to see how he's going to fit into the team next year.
Yeah. It's definitely interesting comments yet vague. Like you said, JB, do you have any thoughts on that? Or are we going to roll with Tommy?
Yeah. I think, the fact that they say they're making it more realistic. So unlike Madden and unlike recruiting in the past on NCAA, it's not going to just be assign points or choose options. It almost sounds like it's going to be more fluid, which is going to be interesting to see how it works, see how it's implemented, and to see if it's actually something that doesn't break the game. So, you know, it's a lot. It sounds like a lot of stuff, but they've had time to put this together. So it's going to be real interesting to see kind of the entire progression of the whole system.
Some of the community feedback we had based on last week's show. Let's go to our YouTube comments. Cleverly 54. Guys, what connectivity do you think this game will have with Madden draft classes? Also, do you think this comes out for PC? I have my thoughts, but I'll let you guys fire away first. Tommy?
Draft classes, I think, is a given. I think that's definitely going to happen. It makes sense. Just like we had before, you export it at the end of the season. Now it's available to import into Madden. Mm. So, yes, I think that's a given. For PC, I will say that today's PC version is still last gen, if I'm not mistaken.
It's one of those things that it's always been behind, but then they're saying now this year Madden 24 PC will be the same as current gen and have the same features. So that will be a first.
So in that case, I mean, I guess there's a chance, but I still don't think that they'll do it the first year. I think they'll make you buy it on console. Maybe after a year or two after Madden's stable on PC, then maybe. But I doubt that they launch college football on PC before they launch the new Madden on PC.
When I responded, I saw him come through the comments on the tailgate account. Draft classes, I think, will be in. I mentioned Road to Glory. I think I'll have that export like we talked about last week with the community predictions. I think there'll be a Road to Glory export to face the franchise. And I said personally no on PC. I think your logic makes sense on why not, because they just haven't done it in the past. But I think also with PC, there's more of a chance of modding, and they don't want those updated rosters out there. So I just don't think it's going to happen, at least not year one. Maybe down the line something will change, but my guess year one will not be there. Over on Twitter, we had a response from Taylor Malone. He said, guys, food for thought. Y'all said it would be very hard to have decommits. First off, that was just Tommy, but I understand his point. They could have a system that weeks 1 to 3, there are early commits, and week 7 to 9, there could be a chance of your early commits decommitting. Gives you a chance to replace them. Not a perfect system, I know. All right, well, I got to be honest, Tommy, this is a little bit of an intervention. Taylor and JB and I all got together, and we thought we got to get Tommy on the path that decommits are a possibility in EA Sports College Football. May not be year one, but down the line. Have you given it some thought since last week, Tommy? Have you come around? Are decommits at some point a possibility? And the answer you got to say is yes.
Well, in that case, I guess the answer is yes, so we can move on. But no, in all seriousness, I mean, I think it's ultimately possible. The trick is making it still fun, because if it becomes a chore that you sign all these guys and they're committed and you are dreaming of your next season's team, and then all of a sudden half of them decommit and move on. I mean, obviously that's somewhat realistic because it happens, but at the same time that it's not fun as a player. So I think personally, the only way it would be, and that's the only way I could see doing it, is that you have a soft commit, and it sounds like they're probably going to show up, but they may not. And then you also have a hard commit. So a hard commit, they're guaranteed to show up. You don't have to worry about soft commit. They're probably going to show up. You still kind of have to recruit them, but you know, it depends upon, you know, I think something that Taylor, you know, that we've talked about in the past is it depends upon your roster. So like to me, that's one of the biggest challenges in the past, is that you could recruit 12 quarterbacks and each quarterback would still sign with you.
Right.
I don't think you should be able to do that. So in that case, if you sign one star quarterback and then you sign another star quarterback, well, one of them is probably going to waver a little bit more. I could see that happening.
Right. There's definitely benefits to it. Things that could help in a lot of regards with roster management.
Yeah, I agree.
And prevent stockpiling.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if you sign that 70 overall quarterback and then turn around and sign an 80 overall quarterback, well, that 70 overall knows he's never going to get a chance to play. So he's going to move on and go somewhere else. That I can see. Mm. But again, you know, how do you make it fun to where maybe it is just they're a hard commit unless you pursue somebody that scares them or something like that.
Yeah. And you're bringing into this, like you mentioned in that show that we just showed, that they're bringing in this whole new system that is going to seem realistic. So maybe this is going to be a part of the game just because that is a part of the natural recruiting progression, especially if you've recruited multiple people at that position or a coach leaves. I mean, that could be another factor too.
Or if you're going the other thing is multi-year season and if the coach is struggling, maybe you're more likely to have a few more decommits. But go ahead, Tommy.
Right. As I said, the other thing is you have to balance it between, are they going to start right away or are they going to start in year 3 or 4? You know, a younger guy or a lower skilled guy, he's not going to worry about starting day one. Whereas a 4 or 5 star athlete, they're planning to start day one. So you kind of have to, you know, build that as well. So maybe the 70 overall guy stays because you signed a JUCO that's going to start for 2 years, but by year 3, he's going to get a chance to start, something like that.
That's one of the things, a few notes I wrote down after reading Taylor's comment, thinking about how decommits might or might not work. my first thought was what you mentioned, Tommy. If we have to do this for every player, it's no longer an extra feature. It's just extra recruiting and extra work and extra chore. It almost has to be, you know, relatively low percentage. And I'm not sure. I'm sure the recruiting sites have a general number. It's not a ton of players that do this. I mean, the ones that do it get amplified and we see it on social media. But most guys who commit to a team generally go there. So I would think game-wise, it'd probably be less than 10%, you know, if you're just a couple a year. But I do think there's a game component to it. Let's say Tommy, for example, somebody committed to his school that I wanted. And 4 weeks later, they decommit. And now I can go back in there and try to get them. If I get them, think about the gamesmanship and the competition and the bragging. Now we have in the online dynasty where not only in the past could I brag about getting a recruit. Now I can say, I stole a guy who was committed to you. Like, I think it adds a whole new gamesmanship level if they can get a system like this in place.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. That was always the fun part is when you're recruiting head to head against another guy and you happen to be the one that signs him because you got the visit in earlier or whatever it may be. Then that was always the fun part. And I still have people to this day that I was in online dynasties with that say, I remember that one guy you signed away from me kind of thing. So it's definitely, you know, like you said, the gamesmanship of it would be a big part of it. But again, if you're having to do that for 25 plus guys, then that just becomes a hassle more than anything.
That's a chore. It's not fun at that point. Yeah. You know, you had mentioned, you know, when you find out, you know, what verbiage will it be like on the screen? Does it say this guy is a soft commit, a hard commit? And I'm joking here, but I think about in real life, when the guys put on their social media, they'll put, you know, I'm 100% committed, no more contact, please. And then when they decommit 2 months later, they hold up, they have the note screen from Apple on there. And it says, after much thought with my parents and thoughts and prayers and everything, I think I'm going to reopen my commitment. That it'd be funny to incorporate that somehow, but I'm not sure how you do it. But it does bring up to the forefront, how do they present this to the user? What verbiage are they going to use in terms of, and how do they tell you, like, you thought you were done with this guy. You're not done with this guy. You got to go back in and keep going. And I think that becomes the part, because you don't want to think you have a guy in the bag and then, oops, I didn't notice he wasn't committed to me anymore. And he goes off to somewhere else.
Yeah. Maybe it's one of those coach skills like we had in NCAA 14 that, like, if you upgrade a coach skill high enough, then you know that once they're committed, they're fully committed or something like that. I mean, maybe I could see something like that. And maybe it is that once they're committed, they get pulled off of your list and you don't have to recruit them anymore. But then there's a dice roll that happens each week that says, oh, he decided to open it up or something like that. The only thing is, again, I would hate to see five guys get that same dice roll in the same week, you know, so they would have to be very careful with it.
It'd be a good, I don't say point sink, but a point sink in a way that way you just can't be hopping around to get all the best players, where if you got to go back and reinvest. I mean, that's the part to me always stands out, is like, this prevents roster stockpiling. Like, I think it's a big benefit.
The other thing is like I said before, sometimes in the past, it just came down to how lucky you were to get their visit. So if it was you and another guy going head to head and you got him visit week six and he got him for week seven, you may sign him for week six, but at the same time, he may still go for that visit on week seven and then say, oh, well, maybe I am not hard committed or whatever. So, I mean, some of that stuff I could kind of see, but again, has to be very careful about how it happens and how often it happens.
And now you got the transfer portal as well. So if you stockpile guys and you don't play those guys, however EA implements that transfer portal now, they're more likely going to leave as soon as the fact they didn't play that whole first season they were there. So that's going to be another thing those people that would be successful at stockpiling are probably got to worry about as well.
And if the portal guys look at that too, if they realize you just signed two quarterbacks or two running backs or whatever in, you know, a high school class, maybe that scares the portal guys off as well. So I mean, there's a lot of the logic between the two aspects needs to be pretty smart. There's a lot of moving parts here. Taylor suggested in there, you know, week one through three you have early commits, and week seven to nine the chance of those early commits decommitting. And that brings up a good point. Would there need to be a cutoff for decommits? So that way they have time to go somewhere else. It makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. But I think to kind of line up to real life that you would recruit all the way through the regular season.
Right.
And then during the off season, you would continue recruiting. You know, some guys could actually fully commit and sign the dotted line, and you won't ever have to recruit those guys again. But then in the off season, you would have to either continue recruiting other guys or have some other targets to go after or something like that. So,
right.
I mean, I could see there being a hard, you know, sign the dotted line commitment at the end of the season, into the regular season. And then again, in the off season, you may have other guys that did not commit, but again, most of them, at least in real life, are going to have committed by then.
Right. Do you guys think, would decommits be less likely to consider the school they previously committed to? So I want to think, we don't have these numbers, but to me, I get the perception in real life, if a guy decommits, usually he doesn't go back to that school. I mean, it does happen, but usually they go somewhere else. But for the video game aspect, would you want it to where that school still has equal chance with everybody else? You can see both ways, can't you? Because I'm the same way.
For sure. I can see both ways, but it, like you said, in real life, I think, you know, probably 9 times out of 10, they don't. There's a reason why they backed out, you know, for that. Otherwise they wouldn't have said anything if they were wavering, but still weren't sure. They probably wouldn't say anything until they were sure that they're ready to move on. So, I would say in the video game sense that they probably, I would hate to have a guy sign for me after that week 6 visit. And then open it after week 7, and now I no longer have a chance. You know, that kind of thing.
I think they might want to skew it more for video game fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Within the video game, you could also probably make, put in a variable of the, it lowers the percentage chance that he goes back to that same team. So there's a chance, but it's very slim now.
So thank you to Taylor Malone, Cleverly54 for their comments. Always appreciate having the extra feedback and discussion points here on the show. Before we wrap up, we do want to mention one other point from Matt Brown, that he believes that game information may come as early as this season for EA Sports College Football. Does that catch you guys by surprise? I know last week on the community predictions, the majority thought it would be during the bowl season or the postseason, but now he's saying there's a chance it could be earlier. Now, whether that's a trailer or video or screenshots, yet to be determined. What do you guys think of that?
I'll be surprised if we get really, really solid information. I mean, we may get some and may get like little teases like here, like, oh, well, you should have seen what happened when we ran this game in college football or something like that, you know. But at the same time, I don't think it's going to be gameplay. I don't think it's going to be final screenshots because honestly, based upon years past, they're still well into development until, you know, March, April timeframe.
Right.
So again, anything that they show this year is not going to be final, but it is going to be maybe an indicator, or maybe they do a tour of a stadium or something like that to show, hey, here, like they, I think a couple of years ago, they posted Bucky from Ohio State, you know, here's what it's going to look like for, you know, when you go into Miami's football stadium or something like that.
Cause they can't show players cause nobody signed. So they'd have to do real generic players.
Right,
they're going
to show
players. So they're kind of have their hands tied in a way. And I don't think they're going to do anything too early because they don't want to cut into Madden. It's like, so I mean, it's nothing to be anything too major. It might be just a tease, like, don't forget about us, but nothing to be where people are going to be thinking, yeah, I'm going to hold off on buying Madden. I would think it'd be a couple months after release of Madden before we hear anything or see anything.
Well, probably. Plus, it's, you know, they said during the season, so it could still be well after Madden's release, like October or something. Because I mean, they've been on a hiatus for so long. You're not going to get your normal time frame, so there could be earlier stuff than we're used to getting back, as opposed to when it was a yearly release. So, the fact that it's been so long since we've had a game, it wouldn't surprise me if it comes out earlier with some information.
And depending on how Matt heard that and who he heard it from, they might have said, "Hey, yeah, we're going to do it this season." Well, the postseason is still the season. So season doesn't necessarily mean week 1 or 2. Season could be January 15th or wherever that week is leading up to the championship game. So thanks again to the feedback. I'm CDJ. We're going to wrap up today's episode of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. For Tommy and Jeremy, everyone, thanks for watching and listening.